We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Amen. Thank you so much. And thank you for the privilege of coming and being at your church today. I appreciate Pastor Adams and his friendship. I've known him for a number of years. I know his brother and I know his dad. Had the privilege of officiating the marriage of his brother. And of course, Pastor Todd's family, the boys, gotten to know them over the years. It's been a real privilege. I feel really close to this church. Every time I come down here, I spend a lot of summertime down here in this area, in the Hudson area. There's a small camp called Word of Life not far from here. Perhaps you've heard of it, and I get the privilege of speaking there every year. And I think it's my 8th year doing summer camp, so I'm excited about my week. And hopefully I'll come hang out with you all on a Wednesday night again this year. Real privilege to be here. Watching Chad lead worship and see his beautiful family. Of course, Micah, good to see him is always a good thing. Throw that in there as well. Yeah. No, we leave him out too often, don't we? I sure appreciate his friendship. And just to watch Chad up here lead worship, of course, I appreciate the very kind words. You know, sometimes God puts you in places that that you just get the privilege of influencing people. I don't know how much I really did in his life other than just being there at times he needed me, and God placed me in his life. Now, I was his youth pastor, yes, and he kept saying 20 years, and that's not fun to, you know, I think some of you can relate to this. Why do we do that? Why do we talk about 20 years ago? I was the King Josiah of youth ministry. I was 8 years old when I began my reign, so I was quite young when I became youth pastor. But I was quite young. A lot of firsts for me. I remember when I was hired to be the youth pastor at our church. I'd actually taught in the Christian school. I'd graduated from college, and I was a school teacher. I taught geography to 7th graders, which is a lesson in futility in itself. I taught 8th grade Bible, and I taught government to 9th graders. And it was a great year. I learned a lot about me. My undergrad degree... Yeah, a lot about me, and I didn't know anything about what I was doing. My undergrad degree was in communications. I was a broadcast, radio, and television. That was where I wanted to go. I wanted to be on TV, do the weather, something. And those doors closed, and God had other plans for me. I worked for a year outside of that, became a school teacher, and just fell in love with ministering to kids in a Christian school. I really enjoy that. And I'm sure in this room, how many of you are educators? You're an educator. Man, God bless you. You guys are, and you teach and you administer the most underpaid people on the planet for sure. I learned a lot about being a teacher. I know why they have summer vacation. They'd kill kids if they didn't. I mean, seriously, there'd come a point where you're like, I got to come apart or I'm going to come apart, you know? And I love teaching. That next year, they asked me to be the youth pastor, and I remember it very, very distinctly. Chad and one of his friends had written, and I still have it to this day, a yellow legal notepad piece of paper that since I was going to be their new youth pastor, they had ideas about what that youth ministry was going to look like. And it was very demanding. It's not like Chad's character now to boss people around and put his foot down. But he was very specific on some of the activities and things that they wanted to do. And I kept it. I still have that yellow notebook paper in my desk to keep me reminded about just what God can do with young people. And I will tell you, Chad was not perfect, and no kid is. Not by a long shot. So if you want the real inside scoop, those of you on the shelf, if you want the inside scoop, come see me. I will tell you all that there is to be told. And it was fun to watch Chad grow up. In fact, a lot of firsts. We went on our first missions trip, his first missions trip. It was the first one that I took as a youth pastor. And we went to Cuernavaca, Mexico. And we learned a lot on that trip, had a great time watching Chad graduate high school, and just to see God work in a young person's life. I feel like the Apostle John talking to Gaius saying, man, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. And I wouldn't say he's my child, but I would say this, it is awesome to see what God does when you stay faithful and you just let him work. I'm really privileged to be here. I want you to know that. When Pastor Todd asked me to speak, I was more than honored to drive down here and be a part of this great ministry. Last time I was here, this was finished, but that whole other section over there, and Pastor Todd had in his mind exactly what it was going to look like. He was describing it to me. I'm a very visual person. All I saw was, you know, just tools and people walking all over the place. I mean, they're never going to fix this place. There's no hope at all. And boy, what a beautiful facility God has given you. And I'm telling you, there are churches all over the United States that would love to have a facility like this. You guys have invested, and you have placed it to where God can fill this thing up, and the gospel will shine in this part of Florida. I'm so thankful for that. If you have your Bibles today, let's take them and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 3. We're going to read a portion of scripture here written by the Apostle Paul. Many of you in this room that have grown up in church or been in church a long time, you understand that a great portion of our New Testament was penned by the Apostle Paul. In the book of Acts, God had a divine intervention in the life of Saul, converted him. He realized that his life that he was living was contrary to what Christ would have for him. He was radically changed. He was discipled and taken to Jerusalem and discipled by Ananias and Barnabas and was able to be nurtured and became the man that we see here. God said to the disciples, Saul is going to be transformed and he is a chosen vessel for me. And boy, we have the privilege of looking back over Scripture, don't we, to see the grand scope of what God can do in the life of somebody. So as Paul begins to write the book of Ephesians to the believers at the church at Ephesus, we can see in his own personal testimony a radical transformation. So when Paul pens words, they're not words that he throws out there. They're from experience. And so if you have somebody that has been strengthened in his faith and has experientially understood all that God was doing in his life, when he writes words, we listen. In fact, not only does Paul have the credibility and the life experience, but he had the divine inspiration of the Spirit of God to write these words down. And although they were written in context to a church that existed so long ago, the supernatural power of Scripture is that it transforms into the church age. When we read the book of Ephesians, the words that Paul wrote specifically to a group, the Holy Spirit intended to be used during the church age. Here we are several hundreds and hundreds of years later in 2015, and the words are just as applicable today to us as it was to the people in this book. The book of Ephesians was written, it was a prayer. The first half of the book was written as a prayer, and it's bookended. We come to chapter 3, and we see more of this prayer. And I want you to join me, just look at verse number 16. We'll read the scriptures together, and we'll come back, and we're going to make application. The title of the message today is The Power of Faith. Say that with me. The power of faith. We use the word power, we say the word faith, but do we really fully understand the scope and the depth and the breadth and the length of the power of God when it's applied to those of us that have faith? Look at verse number 16. Paul writes, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened. If you underline in your Bible, that is a strong, strong word there. Strengthened how? With might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. You can underline that word as well. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Famous verse of Scripture, one of my favorite verses of all time. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Look back at verse 20. Now unto him that is able. We're going to focus on that part today. And we're going to go back and we're going to reflect on this. This is the thought. The power of our faith comes from the fact that it is not engineered within ourselves. We cannot manufacture any kind of power to understand the vast scope of who God is. But unto him, it is God that is able. So on the screen, I'm going to put a phrase and we're going to say it a couple times as I speak because I want you to get it. Let's say that together. God is able. All right, say it again.
God is able.
Isn't that a wonderful sentence to say? God is able. God is able. This passage teaches us that God's people living under God's sovereignty, praying together and working together with extraordinary faith and extraordinary obedience. Those two things must go together. You have to have faith and it has to be applied. if we will do those things, the promise given in this passage is this, that he will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we don't talk like that all the time. We don't use the words exceeding and abundantly too often together. In Scripture here, it says it's a way to describe God's power and what God is able to do in the life of a believer. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we could ask or think. That phrase, God is able, is repeated throughout Scripture. Scripture tells us all over the place that God has the broad power to do anything that he wills himself to do. In 2 Corinthians, he says this, he is able to make all grace abound toward us. Everything that God has in his great riches is available to us. In 2 Timothy, he's able to keep that which we commit to him. In the book of Hebrews, he's able to help those that are tempted. In the book of Philippians, he is able to subdue all things. And here we are in verse number 20. He's able to do way above all that we ask or think. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that expression has to do with this. It is the highest form of comparison possible. In other words, there is no one like our God. There is nobody like him. It is God's power in infinite scope. It is hard for us in our human construct to be able to understand the very power and the strength that God possesses. And what God says is that if you will exhibit faith and you will give him your obedience, he has unlimited power that he wants to administer into your life. That means this, that God is able to do anything. God is able to do everything. God is able to transform any relationship that you have in your life. I look out into a room like this and I see you all up there as well. And I look into my own life that there are relationships that I don't know how they can be mended. Or there's interpersonal struggles that we experience in the family dynamic. And there's hurt. There's brokenness because we live in a sinful world. What this passage teaches us and what Paul is emphasizing is that God's power is infinite in scope. He has the ability to intersect in your life and to affect your relationships. He has the ability to deal with finance. Did you know that? One of the things that people worry about more than anything else when people are surveyed, it's always about money. It's always about budget. There are people in this world that make millions and millions and millions of dollars, and guess what they worry about? Finances. God, when we as by faith, we as a community of faith, when we'll place our faith and trust God, he has the ability to work in our finances. He has the ability in our health. That's a thing that is beyond our control, isn't it? My mom has been a nurse for over 40 years. She is retired many years ago. She works in a hospice facility. She loves that ministry. She deals with people that are at the end of life. And it is a helpless feeling. And she sees people that do not have a faith in Christ, and they're there and they're scared of eternity. They don't know what the future holds. And my mom has the ability to go in there and by her faith and by her experience, be able to communicate the gospel into people's lives because she's experienced the ability of God. Even though we don't understand our health issues, that God is sovereign. He has the ability to do whatever he chooses to do. And we can trust him. God is able in our church, in this church here, over in the community that we live in. God has the ability to do great things in this community. And he chooses to work through the local church. He chooses to work through you as individuals. God is able. So why are we doing this? Why are we talking about this today? It is really this. We have a mission, don't we? We have a mission as this church to do something with it. Well, what do? We must believe that God is able. Because if we don't believe that God is able to transform lives, we're certainly not going to tell people about it. If you don't understand what he has done in your own life and you don't reflect on that and you don't appreciate it, you will not operate outside of yourself into the lives of other people. You will not look like Jesus because you're so focused on yourself. And what Paul is teaching these believers and what he is emphasizing to them, and it transcends time to us today, is this. If we're really going to understand the gospel, what the mission of Christ was to come and redeem his creation to himself, if we're going to partner with God in that, we have to understand that we will not do that on our own. It has to be the fact that we understand and believe by faith, and it's demonstrated in our actions that we believe that God is able to transform any relationship. He can fix anything that is broken in our world. He has the ability to change people that we never thought could be changed. And by the way, look at me right here. Some of you have children that you know are not living for God, and it breaks your heart. And you have struggles with your faith and whether God's going to do anything because you haven't seen Him move. And you catch yourself, if you're not careful, you can get discouraged in that. I want you to know something. God is able to transform relationships. God can save anyone. God can use anyone if they're willing to be obedient and live by faith. We can't give up. We can't stop. Some of you in here, you have family members that you know are just in bondage to habitual sin. You know some that are struggling with substance abuse problems, or they have issues where they doubt so much in their life. And it's very easy to just say, well, God, I've prayed and you're not answering. Let me tell you today what Paul says. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything you could ask or think, God is able. So let's look at three things very quickly about that, and we'll, with the time that we have remaining. We must believe that God is able. Well, how do we do that? Number one, God's power is available. God's power is available. That means this, that God's power is accessible to you. It's accessible to you on a very personal level. In verse number 16, if you'll look back there, it says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. God's saying this, that you can have anything that God has. He has complete access to that power. And you as a believer can have that strength inside of the inner man. When you walked in here today, you did not manufacture joy. Any joy that you're experiencing as a believer was infused into your life when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit of God came inside you, He literally transformed you from the inside out. It's a beautiful picture to understand that God's power is available. This passage, if you look through verse 16 through verse 19, you will see the extremes. What Paul does, and he has a couple ways of doing this, is he will take you to the extremes to show you the scope of who God is. It's as if he says, here's God's love, here's a telescope that has those expansions. Not only does God love you but we can give you His strength, but there's the breadth and the height and the depth and the width, so that when we look through the lens of the Spirit of God strengthening the inner man, we have the ability to really understand just how much power is available to us. The strength in the inner man of the Holy Spirit, which is a gift that God gives to those that pray for it. That leads to the indwelling of Christ, which leads to abundant love, which leads to God's fullness in us. He promises us His fullness. In this passage, in this book, we see this. We see two things. We see enlightenment and we see experience. Paul wanted believers to understand who God is. God, in His infinite scope, it is hard to tangibly place all that God is in a construct that we can understand Him. And so from the first part of the book, He drives into doctrine. He talks to us exactly what God wants us to know about Himself. And then when we come to this passage, He takes what we have been enlightened with, what God has shown us about Himself, and then He shows us the experiential part of that. Everything that God is, He wants to get it to where you understand it, and it is available to you. You have access to a holy God that loves you intimately. In fact, He loves you so much, He intimately demonstrated it by sending His very own Son, who was the perfect one, 100% God, 100% man that lived on this earth. And God knew that His creation had to be redeemed by a perfect sacrifice. God's wrath must fall on sin. And in order for sin to be taken care of, His Son had to die on a cross. And the beautiful picture of the gospel is holistic. From Genesis to Revelation, we see the working of God redeeming His creation to Himself. And when Jesus took on sin, all of God's righteous wrath fell on Jesus, and Jesus paid once and for all your sin debt. He tore the veil in two, gave us direct access through the Father, through the Spirit of God living inside of us. That is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is that it is available. There are religions out there in this day and age where people are very well intended, but they have a distant God that they cannot know. They live in fear of. And I have had that experience. We've taken our teenagers on many, many missions trips. And one of my favorite trips was in our very own country. We went up to a community up in the Michigan area that is, it's an Arabic community. It's one of the largest Arabic communities in the United States. And we would go up there during certain times of the year and work with their Chamber of Commerce. And what we would do is we'd partner with different groups there, and we would minister at this festival. It was a gathering of several hundred thousand Arabic people from all over the United States would come and gather in this area, and they would celebrate their culture. And Arabic culture is a beautiful thing. And there is the faith of Islam, and it's very, very strong and very primitive. I didn't know a lot about it. What I wanted to do is I wanted to expose my kids to what, because there's a lot of stereotypes of what that really looks like. I wanted my kids to have all their senses touched and seen, and I wanted them to experience it. And then, you know what it did? It led them to open and honest discussion, questions, because you know what? God loves all people. God, our God, a holy God defined by Scripture, wants to redeem everyone to Himself. I wanted my kids to go into an environment to meet people that think radically different. But you know what we learned with those wonderful, beautiful people that we interacted with for over a week was that they have a very strong, hospitable faith, but they live in fear. Their God is one of fear and pleasing. The God that I serve, He demonstrated His love toward me, and while I was yet a sinner, He gave me the very best that He had. And He says, I can't love you any more than I already do, and I cannot love you any less. I love you. Do you understand our faith? When we understand that, how freeing that is. And it is available to you personally. We do not know or experience the fullness of God's power when there is separation by what we say we believe and how we live our lives. What you need to understand is what God is saying here. He's saying His every bit of the fullness of Christ, all of God's power is accessible to you. But you know what? It can't be just what you say and then you live a separate life. God wants you to understand that you're to live by faith and you're to obey Him. Trust and obey, and they go together. And when you live like that, when you trust God at His word, and you begin to take steps of obedience in that way, all of God's power is available to you. That ought to wake you up. That ought to make you look at a day differently than anybody that doesn't know Christ. God is able, and that power is available to you personally. Not only is it available, but number two, God's power is confirmed by His love. It's confirmed by His love. Look at verse number 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, which being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Look at verse 18, and I asked you to underline the word comprehend. And we're going to look at that word here for just a moment. We all know that Jesus died for us and loved us and went to the cross for us. And that is why this word comprehend is so very important. The word comprehend here is not just a belief. It's not this mental assent that, yes, Jesus died on the cross, I understand it. God wants you to be able to comprehend it, to grasp it, to harness it, to where you fully understand it. Because that's what the power of the gospel is. You had to have the lights turned on by the power of God in your life to see the power of the gospel in your life. And when God pulled you to Him, when you said yes to the Spirit of God working in your life, and you invited Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, and you see that the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. You can comprehend the love of Christ in your life when you understand what God has really done in your life. I brought with me a simple illustration today. Some of you will recognize this as a camera. Anybody under the age of 20 is thinking this is a handgun. It is not. It's a camera. This is what we used to carry around. You know what we wouldn't have? A selfie stick. It would not work on this type of camera. I would break my arm. You'd have to Iwo Jima the flagpole up to take a picture. This is an old camera. It's really heavy. Kids are like, it's all in my phone. Was there a time where there was a separate camera? Yes. How many of you remember the big flash things you clicked on there and to blind the whole world? Yeah. Well, this is what this is, a camera. And I grew up with a camera. My grandfather was a photographer as a hobby. My dad took a lot of pictures. And so this is, by the way, these older cameras are awesome. When you take pictures with these older cameras, it's amazing what you can do. But in the back, and I'm going to show you something here, you can open it up. And this is going to blow anybody under the age of 20, you're not going to track with me what I'm about to talk about. It's called film. No. And these canisters, and you put them in there, and you'd close this, and you go, and you'd wind it. You would take said pictures of the birth of your children or something special. You'd open it. It would seal it. You'd take it out, and then you wouldn't develop it for 2 years. Am I right? How many of you ever took a picture, and you waited 2 years, you go to develop it, and it's just blank? I'm telling you, we lived with that kind of frustration for many, many years. But the way a camera works is you put that film in there, and that film is treated, okay? And I won't go into all the science because, quite frankly, I don't understand. I just thought it was a bunch of, like, people that lived in there that made it happen. But you put the film in, and that film is treated with a chemical. And the idea of it is when you close this, it becomes a darkened environment. And this is what controls it here in the front. The inside of there is an iris that will open and close. It's called aperture. And when you push the click button, the aperture opens. And the design of it is it allows light to pass through the lens. And with the focal point of the lens, it allows whatever light that it allows in, it goes and it freezes an image onto that film. That's how it worked. And the aperture, it would open a certain amount, and then the iris would close. And it does it very, very quickly. It would open and close. And the longer you have it open, the more exposure to the light that it gets. And so what will happen is if you have film in this camera, when you take a picture of whatever it is, if it's of a person, when you push click, it captures the image of what it is on that film. Without the film inside of this camera, without film in there, all that happens is the light passes through, right? Have you ever accidentally taken a bunch of pictures and didn't have any film in your camera? And then you didn't tell anybody because you just felt dumb? Yeah. I was like, man, that was a great graduation. Oh, no. What are you going to do at that point? You know, so, but that's how a camera works, is it opens up. And when you didn't have film in there, it went through all the motions, right? Everything happened just like a camera should. The problem was it's not being captured. What Paul is saying here, and by the way, he didn't have a camera to use as a metaphor or an illustration, but what I want you to understand is this, that when the Spirit of God lives inside of you, when God says He wants you to be able to comprehend the grand scope of who He is so that you can understand the gospel, is that it's confirmed by His love. He loved you so much that He gave you His Son, and He sent the Comforter to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God is the film. Because God has a lot of truth about Him and what He's trying to show you. And what we have to be is we open up and we see and we experience light. And what allows us to understand and comprehend it is that the Spirit of God, that film in there, is capturing the very images of God and who He wants you to know about Him into your life. There are a lot of people that are walking around. They hear truth, they see truth, but they cannot comprehend it because they don't have the film. They don't have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them that allows them to comprehend just how vast and how great God is. The Holy Spirit of God is preparing your inner being so that you can grasp who God is. Without the Spirit at work in the inner being, you can hear truth, but you will not grasp the reality of it. When we know the love demonstrated through the gospel, then we know who we are. When you understand that God's power is confirmed in how much He loves you and what He wants you to know about Him, it transforms you from who you used to be, and it gives you the very fullness and the heart of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus come? His mission on earth was to seek and to save that which was lost. He was on mission. When you comprehend the love of God, it ought to change the way that you see everything in your life. It ought to transform. The gospel ought to transform every bit of your life. I grew up at a time where salvation and the gospel was just kind of a 1-2-3 prayer kind of thing. It's like, here's what salvation is. Get saved and you're good. What I have grown to understand as I've matured in my faith is that, and a great illustration, J.D. Greer, a pastor, said this one time. We a lot of times look at the gospel as the springboard into life. You get saved on the springboard and you launch into life. And J.D. Greer said, no, it's not the springboard, it's the entire pool. When you trust Christ in your life, you're launched into a life that is gospel focused. And the gospel focus is that God loves you so much that He made a way, the film of the Spirit of God in your life. So when truth is opened up to you, you're able to comprehend it, and it changes you from the inside out. That's how you know you're confirmed by the love of Christ. This sense of identity and being loved gives us the ability to relate to others so we can comprehend with all saints the magnitude of the love of God. So here's what that means. You will not be hurt by criticism because people will criticize you. You won't be ashamed to share your faith because of fear of rejection, or fearful to give extravagantly because you have a grip on His love. Romans 8:32 says this. It says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" You can live a life that is poured out for God when your heart comprehends the love of God that you will never, ever be separated from. That is one of the most powerful things. When God says He is able, His power is available to you. His power is confirmed by His love. And then thirdly and finally, God's power reveals the glory through His church. God's power is revealed through the glory of His church. This is a very important verse. Look at verse number 20. He says that that's our famous verse there. "Not unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church." What is more important than anything else is that God receives all the glory. When Paul writes the book of Ephesians, he's writing it in the church age. He's writing it to the church. Remember, at the first point, it's personal. God's power is available personally. But God's mission is fulfilled through the local body of believers. It is the most interesting institution in the world. It doesn't always function well. You know why? Because we're human and we're broken. But when the church is functioning right, it is the very light of the world. When God's people, who are individually comprehending the love of God, they are understanding that that power is accessible through our faith and obedience, that God will use us to influence and change the world. You get a bunch of people that believe that in a room, and then they love one another. Boom! God's power is explosive. What God says in His Word is that people that are out there that don't know Christ, you know how they're going to know Jesus is real? You know how they're going to comprehend who God is? Because there is a bunch of people that don't have the Spirit of God living in them. They hear truth, but it passes through. They can't comprehend it. You know what helps them to comprehend it? When God's church, made up of individuals, love one another. That's how the world knows that we're real. That's how this world is compelled to find out who Christ is, because they see it demonstrated in the little Christs that are in this room. What will change this community, and this is a really cool thought. I was reading a book talking about the channels of our culture. Channels of culture would be education, government. There's sales, there's the business side of it. There's about 7 different channels in our culture. And do you realize that there is no place that all 7 channels gather on a weekly basis in our culture, except for the church? In fact, if we did a survey in this room, we went around this entire room, probably all 7 channels of culture are represented in here. And you take the 7 channels, policemen, government officials, you take educators, you take businessmen, you take retirees, you take people that of all different walks, students, and you get them together and they come under the sound of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God that laces us all together. When we open our eyes to truth and that light comes into our hearts and God teaches us a truth, it transforms us into His image. We become like Christ. When we look at the world out there, God has strategically put His body in here to be encouraged. And when we leave here, we go out there. And many of you have influences that I will never have. Your pastor won't be in the places that you go. Do you understand? We have, in church life, we have made almost like its own, we have a pope. And we have like people up on a stage, and we pay them. We paid them money. Like the pastor is supposed to represent God, and then all the people that we pay money to are supposed to do the work of God. But when you look at Scripture, it's a privilege for us to be paid in the church and to work, but it is the command and the call of everyone that names the name of Christ to be the church. That's what makes our faith so beautiful. And that's why it's so important for you wherever you work. You say, "Well, I just work at a restaurant." Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean you just work at a restaurant? God strategically places you around dozens and dozens of people. Well, I can't talk about my faith, but you can flesh it out by how you interact with people. I promise you, people that are looking for light, they're going to see something different about you. Do you realize if everyone in here that touches all the the facets of our culture, really understood, comprehended how much power is available to you as a believer, that if you'll trust Him by faith, you'll open your eyes and ask the Spirit to give you His, give you the heart of Christ for people, that you realize the influence that's represented in this room, it's explosive. And when we say that God is able to change our community, it's not a trite statement. It's not a banner that we put up for a revival. It's a way of life that the church, this church, Faith Baptist Church, lives out every single week. Too many churches, it's a holy huddle. It's a Christian country club. We gather, we talk about God, and then we go about our day. That's not the power of the gospel infused into believers. God is able, but guess what? God's on mission. His richness and His power is available to those that live by faith and act out of obedience, and God's power will use you in great ways, and God wants to use this church. It's available to you personally. It is absolutely confirmed in His love. He loves you so much that the Spirit of God lives in you. He wants you to experience Him. He wants you to have that. And He wants you as a church to go out there and reach a world that desperately needs Him. Say, God is able. And we say it now today as we've looked at this passage. Put it personally in your life. How does that fit? Where are you doubting? Where are you struggling? Where do you need to see light today? Where are you doubting God? Ask God to just help you to comprehend the three-dimensional, infinite power that He has available to you. It'll change the way you see the world. It'll change everything. And then look around you. Look at this great church. God's going to do great things here when we're on mission with Him. Extraordinary faith. God is.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.